everybody. Cal Banyan here. Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc. If you're watching this video anywhere except CalBanyan.com, you want to go there right now, because right below this video on CalBanyan.com is additional content, links, videos, graphics, everything that just kind of makes these podcasts, these videos, complete for you. All right. Well, what do we do here? Well, we talk about hypnosis, etc. There's literally hundreds of videos like this, about 20, 25 minutes long, that continue your education in the world of hypnosis. By the way, I'm working on a new project. Well, this website has always been intermediate to advanced hypnosis techniques and discussion, and I'm going to be working on a new avenue on the website of exactly how to do it, but it's going to be really basic stuff, talking about terms and frequently asked questions. I'll make up a series of short videos for that group of people who are just kind of the hypno-curious. So now I've made my commitment. I have to follow through. I expect that that should be up in a week or two, maybe three. All right. Well, we're back to part three in the series by Brenda Titus of working with victims of sexual assault and abuse in a hypnosis practice. Why do we want to know about that? Because quite often our clients only think that they're in for weight loss or nail biting or confidence or improving sports, whatever it is, because underneath there's always different kinds of emotional issues. And one common, all too common source is sexual abuse, trauma, and rape. And so Brenda, who happens to be someone who's an expert in that area, she has a bachelor's degree in sociology and an MA in criminology and years of experience of working with this population in a more typical talk therapy kind of environment. Now she's a solid, hardcore hypnotist, 5-pather, 7-pather, 1%er. How you doing, Brenda?
I'm doing great, Cal. I'm happy to be here. Let me tell you all a little bit about Cal before we get started. Cal is here as I was trying to think of a new way to say it, but then I'm going to trip myself up. As the head of the Banyan Hypnosis Center, he started the Banyan Hypnosis Center back in Minnesota with his wife Maureen quite some years ago. Developed a successful practice out there, developed the 5-path system for working through process of hypnosis with clients, 5-phase advanced transformational hypnotherapy, which is a lot of what we're talking about through our series on sexual assault. And then he came out here to beautiful Southern California. He's been out in Tustin, California for the last several years. Here we have a gorgeous training center. It's a great place to come and learn and be trained about hypnosis and hypnotherapy, 5-path, 7-path self-hypnosis, and it's a great place to be. And of course, for me, it's a great place to work. I started my practice here at the Banyan Hypnosis Center, and I'm happy to be here as a hypnotherapist and also to be here helping out with the podcast when I can.
Fantastic. Okay, quick little commercial time.
Yep.
As you guys know, if you want to be a 5-path, there's no better way to do it than come to our NGH, National Guild of Hypnotists, approved Banyan Hypnosis Certification course here at the Banyan Hypnosis Center. We've got two coming up. One is July 15th through the 26th this year, 2013. The other one is October 14th through the 25th, 2013. And by the way, if you can't get to our center, give us a call. We've got trainers in Canada and other places in the world, Singapore, different parts of this country. So give us a call and we will turn you towards a certified Banyan trainer in your area if there is one. All right, also we have our courses on DVD and we have audio courses and all that good stuff. All right, Brenda, back to you.
All right. Well, and obviously I highly recommend becoming a 5-path hypnotherapist. The training series that we're doing right now, working with sexual assault and sexual abuse victims, specifically were developed with a 5-path mindset in mind, as we've talked about, you know, each week talking about the different phases. So today we're going to be talking about the forgiveness phase, and which I think is helpful regardless of if you're a 5-pather or not, but definitely recommend coming out and checking out the certification course here and learning about 5PATH. I think it's an amazing process that I do with all of my clients. So before we continue, just a little bit of background about me and my experience. So before I was a hypnotherapist, I went to college. I have a bachelor's degree in sociology and criminal justice. My master's degree is in criminology with an emphasis in victimology, victim services. From there, I worked for 15 years at the local rape crisis center, much of that time as the supervisor. So I have actually several years of working with victims, supervising victim advocates in a variety of capacities, running support groups, etc. So that's where I come, what I bring to the table here in talking about this topic. Of course, a lot of the things that we're talking about today are then molded and shaped with my training as a 5PATHer, as well as a training I took recently provided by Don Motton on PTSD. So it kind of all brought everything together that I said, okay, yes, I feel like my knowledge from my former career, my knowledge from my current career, I really thank Cal for letting me come on for my first kind of big series and being able to bring everything together, something that I'm very passionate about. So on the prior episodes that we've done, we did some kind of introduction about sexual assault and sexual abuse and why you need to be prepared for the fact that these issues may come up and different kinds of clients that may end up where they may come to the table for you, as well as we spent a episode talking specifically about issues that may come up as you're doing age regression sessions with your clients. And today, we're going to talk about forgiveness work. And I think it was the day that I listened to, I'm going to cite it now, the forgiveness series, which was episodes 195 to 199. It was just about a year ago right now, and I was listening to Meredith and Cal, and I'm feeling the tears coming, so I can pretty much tell you that was the day that I fell in love with 5PATH, because I felt like, oh my gosh, this is amazing, like how much you can do to heal the history of people, especially who've been sexually assaulted or sexually abused, but really for anything that's going on in somebody's life, by understanding forgiveness and being open to the process of forgiveness and releasing those things from the past. So I just feel like forgiveness is such a huge element, something that I've found has been some of the most healing work that I have seen go on with my clients has been by doing forgiveness work. So before we go any further, Cal, do you have anything you'd like to add about that?
Well, I'm glad that we are having an effect on hypnotists all around the world, and even people have been through the course. You need to hear this stuff over and over again, and it sinks in at a deeper level. Isn't that right?
Definitely, definitely. I should add, I listened to that right before I came into the training, and so I think it just made me so motivated. That was why, you know, when I came into the training, I said, this is what I'm going to do, so let's do it. So it's just opened my eyes so much to the power of hypnosis and what we can do specifically in 5PATH. So I want to start with the word assume. In forgiveness work, we are not going to assume anything, because you know what happens when you assume. So this just came up in our one of our Yahoo groups. Someone said, well, my client, you know, they've forgiven this person, they've forgiven that person, and I don't know that I need to do any forgiveness work or whatever. And my answer was, you know what, no, you need to do the forgiveness work. There's a reason that it's there. Even again, like with when the client says, well, I've worked on this, I've worked on that, they may not have worked on forgiveness in the way that we do in our forgiveness work. And so I think that this is an extremely important step that you don't want to skip in any way. The next part of assuming is you don't want to assume who that client needs to forgive. And I put needs in my notes in quote marks, because you may find out, you know, you may enter in and be prepared to do more than one forgiveness session. Or once you do your forgiveness session and they get it, they might realize, okay, now I can I'm good. I can forgive other people in my life. I actually do a part where I let them put other people into that chair and do any other forgiveness work that they need to do. So I always start my forgiveness session very much the way that I was trained, which is I just indicate with them who goes in that chair, the person who hurt you the most. And then I say, who's going in that chair? You know, I actually really almost never deliberately decide who we're going to do forgiveness with, because I don't always know the answer. It may or may not be the abuser. Actually, with the clients that I've worked with, it's usually not. Only time that it's really been the abuser is when I've deliberately decided to do an additional second forgiveness session specifically to focus on the abuser, because the client was still hanging on to some stuff. Very often, you're going to get mom in the chair. And I'm really sorry, moms. It's just the reality. This was my experience working at the Rape Crisis Center all those years, and it's my experience here, which is that it's expected that the mom is the nurturer. It's expected that the mom is going to protect, that they're going to support. And whether it's a misperception or kind of a reality, very often, a person who's been sexually assaulted or sexually abused as a child, they're going to feel like mom woulda, coulda, shoulda done better or different or anything. So very often that forgiveness work is going to start with mom. It may be that, you know, later down the road, they may need to do, you know, additional forgiveness work. Sometimes I've found that it's not mom, that it's what we call the non-offending dad. I say that just because, unfortunately, a lot of times it's dad who was the abuser. So we're talking about a dad who maybe was distant or, you know, not nurturing, not there. So I've worked with people who ended up looking for that daddy figure who then took advantage of them. So a lot of times I've found that as well. And anything that we should add there from you, Cal?
Yeah, as you're talking about this, I want to bring some clarity. And that is, from my point of view, and that is when we're doing forgiveness work, we really need to divide this forgiveness work into two different perspectives. And that is clients who are doing what we call too much behaviors, so eating too much, drinking too much, smoking too much, all that kind of stuff. Then what we want to do is we want to put the one person hurt them more than anyone else in the chair. And in the chair, it's a forgiveness process. It's that we said the chair therapy. We're talking about Fritz Perl's work applied to hypnosis. Now, when it's anything else, for example, shyness, increasing performance, fears, phobias, stuff like that, then in my experience, it's best if we take the person who is most closely associated with the beginning of the problem, as revealed in the ISE. So that's a decision that that I have to make as I go into doing the forgiveness work. Now, as we've been talking, we're acting like they're only going to forgive one person, when really what we're going to do is, after we've done that work, we assess, does this person now have the ability and the desire to forgive everyone that's really hurting them? Can they do that? Because if they don't, sometimes we need to then take them through the process with someone else to help them clear out this massive pain that's inside of them, the anger. And what we will also do, are you going to get on to how we have them forgive everyone?
I touched on it ever so briefly, but can you share a little bit about that, Cal?
Okay, so once you've got the client who's gone through forgiving one person, let's call them the offender, or the one person who hurt them the most, then if they look like they could then, they go, wow, I feel so great. It's like a weight's been lifted off my chest. Then you say, good. Put everyone in that chair who's hurt you in any significant way. Say what needs to be said, do what needs to be done, and when you're done, just say, I'm done. And let them just finish the process on their own. Some clients, like I said, you might have to take them through another person before that light goes on, or that ability goes where they just, there's a part of them saying, at the subconscious level saying, oh man, I wish I could just clear out all this junk and forgive everybody. And we just basically say, go ahead, put everyone in that chair that's ever hurt you in any significant way. And if they haven't worked with mom yet, I'll usually say, and it starts with mom. If they haven't worked with the offender, the perpetrator, the person who hurt them in the past that started the problem, I'll say, and it begins with that individual. If I'm aware of any other history of abuse, I'll say, make sure to include, because what we're going to be doing is a level of forgiveness that is truly a healing level of forgiveness that our clients and most professionals have not ever fathomed. We're not just letting go of the person. We're just not neutralizing the feeling. We're transforming the individual at a level to where if we do this work right, I know this is going to strike people oddly, and so I might even get some hate mail about this, but it won't be the first time. If we do this work right, the forgiveness work, and we get them totally forgiven, then we can have them look at how they benefited from the experience. Maybe now they're a better parent, or maybe it was because of that past abuse that they decided to become a counselor or psychologist or nurse or doctor, and so on. And so we can move them from fear, anger, and perhaps guilt over into gratitude and strength. And that's the power of the kind of forgiveness Five Pathers do. Isn't that right, Brenda?
Exactly. Thank you so much for, I kind of go cart horse, and I'm making some assumptions about what people know already. So thank you for clarifying some of that in terms of who goes in the chair and also doing, putting additional people in the chair. Sometimes you may end up that the client, because they're in such this amazing place, and you've completed your regular forgiveness work, and then you let them put anybody else in the chair and do it, continue that work and do it silently, they may really be able to clear out all of those other people. Sometimes I've kind of, on the next session, been prepared for how they're doing, how they did in between the two sessions, if I need to go back, especially if they put the perpetrator, the assaulter, in the chair and that wasn't mom or dad, I may consider doing an additional forgiveness session, or even starting the next session by doing some auto forgiveness, just to see if silent forgiveness, see if there's anything more that they need to clear out before we move on to the next step. So yeah, thank you for that. And especially if there are people that were indicated by your age regression that may still need to go in the chair for forgiveness. And and like I said, with assuming who needs to be forgiven, I had a client at one point that we did this incredible forgiveness session, and especially people who've been assaulted, people are telling them to forgive all the time. So when they realize, oh my gosh, that's what I'm doing forgiveness work, it's kind of interesting for them to realize, oh, this is completely different than I ever thought. I had a client once that we did this, very powerful forgiveness session. She went home, she'd done forgiveness with her mother, and she went home and her mother greets her with, you really need to forgive your brother who was the perpetrator. And my client kind of had a smug thought on her face, and I said, well, how did that make you feel? And she said, it made me feel relieved, because I already knew it wasn't him, that I didn't even need to listen to her about it, and she didn't hurt me anymore by saying that. So that's the incredible power that we have by doing this forgiveness work, and by putting the person in the chair sometimes who hurt them the most, or the person that we can tell from age regression work that has been the most influential in planting that seed inside of them. And so, Cal, I actually have a question that someone sent me specifically about forgiveness work. So I'd like to talk about that for a moment, because, like I said, people have a lot of misperceptions about what we mean in forgiveness. And there's, what they hear maybe in church or in various places. And so they get this kind of skewed version of forgiveness, which is very different than what we actually do in our forgiveness sessions. So this question came to me from Debbie, and she says, How is it possible to help clients understand fully that forgiveness does not mean acceptance of the offense, since most clients can and do associate forgiveness with letting a perpetrator off the hook for the offense? And, she said, second part, and should the question be asked about whether the perpetrator had any kind of positive intent? So what do you think, Cal?
Well, I think that the person should read an article, and we'll put a link below, to the 10 Keys to Forgiveness. And I only have about like a minute here, and you sprung this on me. So
sorry.
I can really put this in short and concise. Forgiveness has to do with something that's going on in the past. We don't forgive people who are hurting us now. And I want to highly recommend the book, my book, The Secret Language of Feelings. And when you get into the idea of anger, we understand that anger comes from the perception that someone has done us wrong, or someone or something we care about wrong. And anger is good when that perception is correct and when there's something we can do about it. Because anger is there to motivate us to do the sometimes difficult things we need to do to make things fair. But quickly, things that are going on today move into the past. Then we have to decide, does it make sense to try to make things fair, to get justice about something that happened in the past? Sometimes it's not possible, or it just doesn't make sense, or it's not worth the effort to try to take someone to court or sue someone or, you know, get back at them or whatever to try to make fair. And so what we're really left with is forgiveness. And forgiveness means letting go of the debt, not the person. It has to say, I'm not going to hold them accountable anymore. And in the 10 keys to forgiveness, we talk about how you really do that. You find out such things as maybe the background on the individual. Why would they do such a thing? Well, and another thing is like, isn't their intent to hurt? Or was it in their intent to help? Or were they just trying, it had really had nothing to do with you, they're just trying to solve some other issue in their life. And it can go on and on through the 10 keys. And in the forgiveness process, we apply those 10 keys so that we can get everyone free from the pain of the past, especially with regard to anger. And I think anger is one of the most self-destructive emotions when it remains unresolved and it just sits inside of us. For example, my experience, bruxism, this tightening of the jaw, almost always will not clear up until we've resolved that anger. How's that sound?
Definitely, yes. And I think that, like I said, I, felt pretty comfortable about the answer with this, but I definitely wanted to address it here about really encouraging everybody to go back and look at those 10 keys to forgiveness, looking at, and I have a lot of things in my session built in about this. Doesn't mean that you condone what happened. Doesn't mean that you even like this person. It just means that you are going to stop holding on to this pain to free yourself. So definitely for Debbie and anybody else, take a look at those 10 keys to forgiveness. And then she actually asked too about, should we ask about whether the perpetrator had any positive intent? And should I tackle this one, or do you want to put any input on that one, Cal?
Sure, do it briefly.
All right, sure. So I usually wouldn't look for a positive intent for the perpetrator. I've had perpetrators, obviously, in the past that I've worked with or experienced where they've already said why they thought this was helpful to the victim or whatever. I don't think that it's necessary to find a positive intent for abuse. That would be my take on it. I wouldn't even go there. It's more about finding how the perpetrator is forgivable, even if it comes down to because they're sorry or because they didn't understand or they didn't know, or just even if it just has to be that the client forgives because they're ready to alleviate themselves of the weight that they're carrying by holding on to this anger. So how's that sound, Cal?
Sounds great.
Ready to wrap it up?
That sounds great. Yeah, with the 10 keys, they're like 10 tools in your hypnotherapeutic toolbox. And every project, you can't use every tool in your box. You use the ones that are appropriate given the known history of the client as revealed in the age regression process. All right, wrap it up.
All right, so thank you all very much for joining us today. I am Brenda Titus. I can be reached at brenda@ochypnotherapy.com. I can also be reached on our HypnoSpace. You can also leave comments down at the bottom of this episode. I'll be happy to answer them. Feedback, comments, any further questions for future episodes even. And thank you all for being here today. And Cal, thank you very much for having me.
Hey, you know what we have to do is we'll have to talk about in the next podcast whether or not you'd be willing to perhaps open a group on this subject on our HypnoSpace. Don't answer yet. We'll have to, now we got a cliffhanger. All right, so let's see now. I think that's about it. I'm going to see you at the NGH convention. For more information on the NGH convention, go to ngh.net. This is Cal Banyan signing off.
This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and the Banyan Hypnosis Center for Training and Services, Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without permission. For contact information, go to www.hypnosiscenter.com.